Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. It's June 29th, 2020. Welcome to The Quadcast. Let's dive in. First up, Trend Tracker. Real-time intrafraction KV target monitoring is an ultra-fancy way to provide image guidance during ultra-hypofractionated prostate radiation. But does it add any value above and beyond initial fiducial alignment via 3D-3D imaging match? That's what this Aussie single-arm feasibility study aims to tell us. First, what's meant by intrafraction monitoring? Well, during delivery of 7.25 gray times 5 fractions for a total of 36.25 gray to the prostate, if continually KV-tracked prostate fiducials moved greater than 2 to 3 millimeters for greater than 5 seconds, either beam gating with couch shifts was manually engaged or MLC tracking was automatically engaged. These thresholds were selected based on the smallest planning margins used to create the target. Half of all treatments required such modifications, affecting 88% of patients. To assess the primary outcome of dose delivery accuracy, real-time KV images were superimposed on the planning CT to calculate what dose was or would have been delivered with or without corrections. In the end, roughly 5% of treatments would have delivered a dose to the clinical target greater than or equal to 5% less than planned without intrafraction tracking versus none with tracking. On average, the delivered dose to the clinical target was 1% closer to the planned dose with the addition of intrafraction monitoring. Now, back to the original question of adding some value. It should come as no surprise there was no demonstrable difference in clinical toxicity or patient-reported outcomes. The bottom line is, while what we can do continually advances, what we should do remains guided by logic, efficiency, and our best value judgments. Thanks to Keel et al., Red Journal, 2020. Up second, when radiation is a no-duh addition. The role of post-mastectomy radiation for breast cancer with limited nodal metastases may just always remain controversial. Until the results of trials like NSABP B51, Supremo, and Taylor RT are available, we'll continue to rely on data from large cohorts. Here, we have a multi-center retrospective study as published in the Red Journal 2020 by Wong et al. That comes from China, describing outcomes with or without post-mastectomy radiation in over 1,800 patients treated at 12 centers. These patients received mastectomy followed by modern neoadjuvant chemo for clinical stage T1 to T4, N1 to N2 breast cancer between 2000 and 2014. The majority of patients at 71% received a neoadjuvant anthracycline and taxane regimen. Post-mastectomy radiation was commonly indicated for YPN-positive disease and for YPN-negative disease with high-risk features, like young age less than 50 years, T3 or 4 disease, and N2 disease, or negative hormone receptor status. Important caveats to the modern nature of this trial were the widespread use of 2D planning and omission of internal mammary node coverage. Overall, 70% of patients received post-mastectomy radiation, 47% of YPN0 patients, 67% of YPN1 patients, and 87% of YPN2 patients. Obviously, patients who received post-mastectomy radiation had higher risk features than those who did not. Either with or without propensity matching, the benefit of post-mastectomy radiation matched the extent of nodal disease. Local control was improved with post-mastectomy radiation for YPN0 disease. Both local control and disease-free survival were improved for YPN1 disease. And local control, disease-free survival, as well as overall survival were improved for YPN2 disease. The bottom line is, to no big surprise, this large series of patients receiving mostly modern neoadjuvant chemotherapy confirms the benefit of post-mastectomy radiation is strongly tied to the extent of residual nodal disease. Up next, IROC gathering moss. Ablative stereotactic body radiation therapy for primary renal cell carcinoma tumors is gaining traction. The IROC Consortium is back with a report describing outcomes for 95 patients from 9 centers with large renal cell carcinomas that were T1B or greater or 4 centimeters or greater in size. They were treated with primary SBRT. Of note, on average, there was a delay of several months between diagnosis and SBRT treatment, potentially indicating that these tumors had faster growth kinetics on active surveillance. The majority of patients had both kidneys intact, and 90% had clear cell histology. At 2 and 4 years, the rate of progression-free survival was 81% and 65%. However, only 3% of patients had local failure, which is comparable to the local failure rate with partial nephrectomy. Nearly 50% had pre-existing chronic kidney disease. Among those who didn't, roughly 1/3 developed chronic kidney disease after SBRT at a median of 20 months. And the average reduction in estimated GFR after treatment was 7.4 milliliters per minute. There were no grade 3 or higher complications, and per usual, SBRT wasn't standardized. Nevertheless, half of patients received a single fraction, the median total dose was 26 gray, and the median BED10 was 87.5 gray. The bottom line is, SBRT to larger renal cell carcinomas has a low rate of local failure at the expense of potential moderate decline in long-term renal function. Thanks to Siva et al., Red Journal, 2020. Up next, maximally effective. If retrospective and even prospective randomized studies weren't enough, here's a meta-analysis, as published in JAMA Oncology 2020 by Natecki et al., providing even more evidence that minimally invasive hysterectomies for early-stage cervical cancer confer worse survival than the tried-and-true open techniques. Among nearly 10,000 women included in 15 observational studies, half received minimally invasive surgery, and half of those were robot-assisted. The pooled hazard of recurrence or death was significantly higher with minimally invasive surgery, with a hazard ratio of 1.71, as it was of death with a hazard ratio of 1.56. And this wasn't limited to only robot-assisted cases. What's more, there was low heterogeneity among study findings. The bottom line is, a broad look at outcomes further confirms a survival detriment with minimally invasive surgical techniques for early stage cervical cancer. Up next, recovery time. In a truly non-US research effort, the UK enrolled, since March alone, 11,500 patients across 175 NHS hospitals onto its randomized RECOVER trial, evaluating the use of 6 milligrams of oral dexamethasone daily for a total of 10 days for the treatment of COVID-19. In a globally anticipated press release, The trialists report outcomes among the first evaluable 6,425 patients, demonstrating a significant reduction in death with the addition of dexamethasone among patients requiring supplemental oxygen and ventilation. University of Oxford, 2020. Up next, sedimentation rate. A pre-planned secondary analysis of the massive REGARDS prospective observational study demonstrates that greater total sedentary time as measured via hip-mounted accelerometer worn for 7 consecutive days by over 8,000 people without active cancer at the time is associated with greater cancer mortality in the decade to follow. Conversely, substituting sedentary activity with even 30 minutes of light intensity and especially moderate to vigorous activity significantly lowered subsequent cancer mortality. Thanks to Gilchrist et al., JAMA Oncology, 2020. Finally, step it up. This study, as published in the Red Journal 2020 by Paul et al., using fitness trackers during and after chemoradiation for non-small cell lung cancer, shows that mean heart dose was more strongly associated with activity decline after treatment than age, performance status, or lung dosimetry. For every 10 gray increase in mean heart dose, there was a 3% decrease in step count. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.